This is The Guardian.
I'm Laura Murphy Oates, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is The Full Story. The No campaign for the Voice to Parliament referendum has posted several false or misleading claims on social media. In response, Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney has questioned their credibility. Separately, after a series of all-white panels on The Voice, concerns have been raised that grassroots Aboriginal voices are not being heard during this process. Today, Indigenous Affairs Editor Lorena Allam on how misrepresentation and misinformation could derail the referendum process and what we can do to keep it on track. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of May.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Lorena, there's been quite a few incidents recently of misinformation or misleading statements being put out by the No campaign and others. What's happening here?
Yeah, so there's been a bit of mis and disinformation being circulated on social media, the same way we'd probably get during any election campaign. But of course, this is about a referendum that's so important that there's a heightened sense of concern among people about the fact that the No campaign's misinformation is having an effect and sowing doubt and confusion in people's minds.
Mm. Let's dig into some of the things that have happened. The latest controversy centres around social media posts from the No campaign, which claim to depict the grandson of legendary Aboriginal rights activist Vincent Lingiari, with a quote explaining why he's voting no. But this post, it's false, Lorena. How?
Yeah, it's wrong. So many people would know the name Vincent Lingiari. Vincent led the walk-off in 1966 from Wave Hill Station of his Gurindji people. They walked off Wave Hill, sat down at Wadi Creek, we now call Kalkarindji, and they stayed there for 7 years. They fought for not just equal wages, but for their land. And people might remember that iconic photograph of Vincent and Gough Whitlam, the Prime Minister at the time, pouring a handful of dirt into Vincent's outstretched hand to say, yes, this is your land and you can have it back. So Vincent's name, his deeds are a giant in the modern day Aboriginal land rights struggle. So for his grandson, Stuart Lingiari, to now speak up and say that he is opposed to the Voice to Parliament is a pretty big thing, right?
Mm.
So last month, Warren Mundine and Jacinta Price, who are the two main leaders of the No campaign, both posted on social media a photograph of Stuart Lingiari with a quote beneath. He says in his own words, "I don't want you to look at me differently. That's why I'm voting no." So Warren has posted that with the caption, "Vincent Lingiari's grandson is voting no." The problem is, of course, Stuart is not Vincent Lingiari's grandson.
How did we find this out?
Well, last week, RMIT Fact Lab, which is a fact-checking unit at the university, the RMIT in Melbourne, published an article quoting Stuart Lingiari as saying he wasn't related to Vincent, he didn't oppose The Voice, and the quote that was attributed to him was not his own words, but was, quote, what the cameraman told him to say. Apparently, the photo was taken during a trip to Canberra where there was a delegation he was part of from Nooka, which is the community in Northern Territory where he lives. They met Jacinta Price and Warren Mundine as part of the Milwarpra Aboriginal Corporation. They went there to talk about Nooka and had their photos taken with the two of them in Canberra.
Right. Few things wrong there.
Yeah. So since then, I've spoken to Stuart as well, and he told me that he'd been given the surname Lingiari as a child when he was adopted. He said that his actual surname is long and complicated, and the authorities gave him that name Lingiari because it was easier to pronounce. And he said he's not from the Lingiari family. He said to me, if they had asked me directly, I would have told them I'm not his grandson, but they never asked me. Mm. So Stuart also said to me, he was pretty distressed. He said he hadn't given permission for his image to be used either, and certainly not in that way. And he felt humiliated to know that his face was going all around social media like in that context, and he wanted them to take it down.
This story provoked a lot of controversy. Linda Burney, the Minister for Indigenous Australians, even said that it calls into question the credibility of the No campaign. What explanations have we heard from the No camp?
Warren Mundine said his description of Stuart was accurate. He claimed that Stuart Lingiari had described himself as Vincent's grandson in a, quote, cultural kinship sense, not in a direct relative sense. So what Warren's referring to there is that in cultural kinship terms, we might call someone grandfather as a mark of respect, but we not may not be their direct descendant. They are the titles we give people. Traditionally, we have many grandmothers and many grandfathers. But Stuart's since said that's not what he meant either. There's no relation to Vincent. Mundine also denied that they had given Stuart and others a script to read, saying they were asked to say what they believe. At this point, it's important to mention that another man who was in the delegation, Sammy Ponto, later corroborated Stuart's version of events and said he also was given a script to read. He was told what to say. The story just sort of snowballed over a few days during that week. And by the end of the week, Warren Mundine had told the ABC that the No campaign would do more due diligence in the future and checking its sources before it published these sorts of things.
Right, but the damage is kind of done, right, Lorena? These posts are out there for all to see.
Well, yes. I mean, Fair Australia, which is the peak group representing the No campaign, they have taken down the image of Stuart from their website and their social media. But as of late last week, Warren Mundine's and Jacinta Price's posts were still online.
Lorena, this isn't the only misleading information put forward by Fair Australia. Last month, they posted a quote on social media from former Prime Minister Bob Hawke, which said, and I quote, "In Australia, there is no hierarchy of descent. There must be no privilege of origin." This kind of feeds into the ideas of the No campaign that the voice will divide people by race. What do you think about Bob Hawke being quoted in this context?
Yeah, so this is not what he meant when he said it. I mean, that quote is taken from a speech he gave in 1988 to the Ethnic Communities Council of Australia, and that speech was about celebrating multiculturalism. So it's been taken out of context, is the least you could say about it.
Another big issue, misinformation aside, is the people who get to speak during this referendum, Lorena. We've seen a few all-white panels over the past few months on the Voice to Parliament. One of them was held in Sydney South by Liberal member for Hughes, Jenny Ware. Can you tell me about this panel and what played out there?
So Jenny Ware, who replaced Craig Kelly as the member for Hughes, held a panel for voters in her electorate. It was like a community and consultation event. It was a place where people could go to ask those questions and get informed. Jenny Ware herself has said she doesn't have a final view on The Voice yet, so it wasn't a No campaign event by any stretch. But it featured Tony Abbott, who is active in the No campaign. He was on the No side, and News Corp journalist Joe Hildebrand was on the Yes side. So the panel didn't have any Indigenous representation. So for an hour and a half thereabouts, non-Indigenous people were talking about the Indigenous voice to Parliament. Tony Abbott claimed things like, if the voice is enshrined in the Constitution, it will be a fourth arm of government. Now, we know that's not correct.
Yes, Tony Abbott's comments were somewhat balanced out by Joe Hildebrand, who did fact-check him and state that Parliament retains ultimate control over legislation. But how was this panel overall received, Lorena?
So at the end of the event, there was a number of questions asked. So it was a 20-odd minutes of Q&A. And then an audience member right at the very end stood up and said, could we please hear from a First Nations person before this event is over, at which point Jenny Ware replied,
"We don't have the time. We simply do not have the time."
And then at that point, Gumbangir Dungari man Phil Doddai walked down the middle aisle and got on the stage.
"You can use your ear if you want to have a original sight view. Am I right?"
"You know, I sat down and I listened to Tony Abbott. It was more about a vote no than about vote yes. And when as this was all going on, I was thinking to myself, where's the Aboriginal panelists' invites, blah, blah, blah. And I sort of looked at it also is that, well, we got an Aboriginal up here doing a welcome to the country. We haven't got an Aboriginal up here as a panel guest. And I just got up and walked down the centre there and I just said me piece."
He told me he was at the back of the room and he had his hand up the entire time but was never called on to ask a question. And he also said that just reminded him so much of what it was like growing up as a Dungari Gumbangir kid on the Burnt Bridge Mission in Kempsey, where you're told to sit down and be quiet.
"The truth hurts, people.
The event was live streamed on Jenny Ware's Facebook page. But maybe a minute and a half after Phil got up to speak, it ended. And you could see Jenny Ware being escorted from the stage by, I think, her federal police minders. A number of people also got up and walked out. So Phil didn't really get a chance to say what he had come to say.
"If you don't have an Aboriginal on a panel pertaining to Aboriginal issues, mate, that's just a normal old white man's way. We'll keep the blacks at the back. We'll tell them what to do. And we'll let them know when they can come inside. That's what this is. People are talking about divide. It's going to divide the country. No, the people who are saying it's going to divide the country, you're the people who have the discrimination issues. Full stop."
It seems like both Stuart Lingiari and Phil Doddai feel misrepresented, feel left out of the conversation on The Voice. Is that a problem that we're seeing more broadly? Grassroots Aboriginal people being left out?
I think it's important that conversations are held everywhere because a lot of this work of understanding has to be done among non-Indigenous people because they are the ones who are going to be required to come to terms with the facts of their history, and they are the ones who need to get educated about how the country is going to progress from this point. I also think that they have a responsibility to talk amongst themselves and there are a lot of kitchen table conversations going on. There's a lot of work being done to school people up to make them understand what the Voice to Parliament is all about. But I think it's fantastic that Aboriginal people are getting up and speaking up for themselves. They're not allowing this misrepresentation to go unchecked. For far too long, Aboriginal people have been used, misrepresented in the media, have their words and their images appropriated for the benefit of other people without their permission. And this is what's happening here again. The irony of it being about an Indigenous voice to Parliament makes this all the more shocking. You know, I think it's really encouraging that Aboriginal people aren't putting up with it. They're calling it out where they see it. But we shouldn't have to. You know, we should be able to have a civilised, fact-based conversation about something this important to the country without, you know, straying into lies and hyperbole and misinformation.
"I did it for the Aboriginal people who I know their pain and I know their heart and soul because I lived that kind of life and that life wasn't good. And that's why I did it and there was no voice there that night. So I spoke my mind and people didn't like it. That's bad luck because, you know, people ain't a black fella telling the truth with a bit of knowledge and education."
Next, is misinformation already derailing the referendum? Hey, Laura Murphy Oates here. This month marks Guardian Australia's 10th anniversary, so we're putting on a special public event to celebrate. If you live in Sydney, come join us on Thursday, the 25th of May, to hear directly from Guardian Australia editors and journalists as they unpick the biggest moments of the past 10 years and let you in on what we have in store for the future. Tickets are selling fast, so search Guardian Birthday and Seymour Centre on Google or find us on the Seymour Centre website. You can also watch the live stream of the event at Guardian Australia's YouTube page. See you there.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Lorena, some have raised concern that, you know, misinformation is damaging the Yes campaign, and we have seen a slide in the polls in support. Can you talk me through that?
Basically, the margins are tight. Some of the polls show that support is slipping, some saying it's staying steady. The Guardian's essential poll said the Yes position has dropped only 1 point in the last month, 59%. The No campaign has gone up 1 point to 41. But the Nine Papers poll says it's down 5% since April, and support at the lowest it's been since it was launched. So it's caused some alarm for some people. The former Aboriginal Social Justice Commissioner Mick Gooder has come out and said that he's concerned the Yes campaign needs to kick into gear now. They need to be much more present and visible. Others have said it's nothing to worry about. We're still in a strong position. The Yes campaign hasn't even begun. But I think the time is fast approaching where they are going to have to step it up.
I mean, how do we wage that battle against misinformation? Clearly, as journalists, media plays a really big role here. But are there any other bodies that have responsibility for kind of regulating this over the next few months?
Well, you've touched on a really crucial issue here. The AEC, the Australian Electoral Commission, does have a role. It's launched a public education campaign to improve people's understanding of the Constitution and the process of a referendum. And it has a disinformation register on its website where it addresses some of the key misunderstandings about the process of a referendum. But it's not its job to call out social media errors of fact. They can only discuss the process, right? So that's where the social media companies have been stepping in. So Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat have said they want all paid ads for The Voice to carry authorization messages, like you get in an election, so people can tell what's a paid message and what's not. It's also marked things as false. So when Warren Mundine posted that image of Stuart Lingiari on his Instagram feed, it's now been labelled as false information, quote, checked by independent fact checkers. RMIT Fact Lab, as we've mentioned, is also tracking voice misinformation. But there is a role for the media here as well.
What about the Yes campaign? How do they view their role in tackling misinformation? Because I imagine it would be incredibly time-consuming and expensive to be devoting all their time to fact-checking.
Yes, and I don't know that they see that as their role either. I imagine the Yes campaign doesn't want to be always responding to the latest claims from someone on the No side. That's the quickest way down the drain.
I suppose the worst-case scenario is that misinformation and disinformation becomes so rampant, especially leading into the final weeks and days to the referendum, that there's just a large cohort of people who are too confused. What would that mean if that's the case, Lorena?
it will go down. The referendum will go down. I mean, there's that phrase, if you don't know, vote no. I think the Fair Australia campaign's already used that slogan in some of its social media posts. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
If you're someone who sees something on social media that doesn't quite look right about the referendum, or if you have a relative who's seen something on social media and is explaining it to you and it doesn't sound quite right, what's your advice, Lorena?
Look, I think this about most big issues that Australians face. I think we all need to be fact checkers. There's a lot of hyperbole around the campaign, and that will only increase as we get closer to the vote. I think what's important is that people, when in doubt, ask questions of a source you can trust, a source that provides you with factual information that you can count on. And the thing that will get us through this whole campaign is to look at the facts. Not be swayed by commentary and opinion, but to trust to the facts of what you know. And if you're confident in your understanding of things, then be an advocate for your point of view. Have civilised conversations with your neighbours and call out errors politely, respectfully, where you see them, because this is too important for us to stuff it up.
That was Lorena Allam, Indigenous Affairs Editor at Guardian Australia. Her piece on Phil Dodi is really worth a read. It's titled People Shook My Hand, The Indigenous Man Who Spoke His Mind at Liberal MP's Voice Forum. And we've put a link to that on the Full Story page. You can also check out the latest news on the referendum at theguardian.com. This episode was produced by myself and Camilla Hannan, sound design by Daniel Simo. The executive producer is Miles Muttonioni. I'm Laura Murphy-Oates. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.